Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
DNA was recovered from underneath Maggie Murdaugh's left hand fingernails at the crime scene in June of 2021. SLED cataloged it, determined it belonged to an unknown male who was not related to Alec Murdaugh. And then according to the defense's own court filing, no further analysis was ever attempted. 5 years that sample sat in an evidence locker while Alec Murdaugh was convicted, sentenced to two consecutive life sentences, appealed, and had those convictions thrown out unanimously by the South Carolina Supreme Court. 5 years of documentaries, podcasts, books, a nationally televised trial, and a corrupt court clerk pleading guilty. And in that time, nobody ran a full analysis on DNA found under the fingernails of the woman he's accused of killing. Jim Griffin, one of Murdaugh's defense attorneys, stood in a Lexington County courtroom on June 29th and told Judge Deborah McCaslin that the technology to properly identify that DNA didn't really exist in 2021. It does exist today. The lab the defense wants to send it to is Ortham, the same forensic genetic genealogy company whose work was central to the Brian Koberger case in Idaho. Roughly 200 cases cleared now, testing at Murdaugh's expense, and it could take about 6 months. The defense cited a specific case in their motion, a former Indiana State Trooper named David Cam. He was convicted twice of murdering his wife and children. What happened when crime scene DNA that nobody had fully analyzed was finally tested? That story comes up a little bit later here, and it's the reason the defense is pushing very hard. Now, I hear you. I hear you. Trust me. This is not an Alec Murdaugh is innocent piece. This is a, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on in the court filings, in the hearing that just took place on the defense and on the prosecution side. I'm not here to say innocent or guilty. I'm leaving that with you. But we're just going to go through what all this means and what's going on. I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Do I think he's guilty of sin? Probably. But you know, I'm open to hearing anything. As should you. Doesn't mean it's going to change my mind. But if there's pieces of the story that we do not know about yet that actually have weight bearing on them into the case, well, that's important. We got to decipher if some of these things are as important as they may seem on paper. There is something else. Dick Harpudlin, Murdaugh's lead attorney, walked into that same hearing with a first responder, transcripts, and told the judge that there were other people at the Moselle property that night whose accounts don't line up. He said the defense has received tips from people claiming to have information about the case. Those tips were forwarded to SLED. Whether any of them were actually pursued is unclear. We don't know what we don't know, Harpudlin told the court. We don't have what we don't have. The Lexington County Courthouse on June 29th was what happens when the most watched murder trial in South Carolina history gets a reset. Murdaugh's first court appearance since the Supreme Court threw out his convictions. Media packed the courtroom. A woman drove 9 hours from Pearl, Mississippi to be there. Outside, someone popped a sign under a stop sign near the media tents that read, "Justice coming soon." Murdaugh walked in wearing an orange jumpsuit and double-layered shackles that became the first fight. Harpudlin pointed directly at the court TV camera and said potential jurors were watching the proceedings. He had Murdaugh stand up so the judge could see the change, the chains. And he said, he's not Ted Bundy. Harpootlin said that. The only thing he's been convicted of is stealing money. The prosecution's position filed before the hearing. This case is ultimately about the fact that the defendant thinks he is special. He is not. Prosecutors noted that Murdaugh had two disciplinary actions behind bars in 23. That contraband was intercepted en route to him through a family member. Harpootlin called the prosecution's filing histrionics. The defense withdrew its motion to appear in civilian clothes, but renewed the shackle argument in court. McCaslin said she would rule later. Will we have a shackled Alec or will we not have a shackled Alec? What do you think? Should we have a shackled Alec? Because the way this is sitting right now, he has not been convicted of murder. Oh, but he was, but he wasn't. The way our system rules, that has all been rewound. And none of that should have bearing going forward. He has been convicted of horrific financial crimes. Does he need to be shackled, though? Or is that weight? Is that show? Is that something that a juror might look at and go, oh, gosh, he's far worse than we actually know? And look, you may answer that question was, yeah, he really is. But at the end of the day, the last thing you want is an Alec Murdaugh trial 3. So as nice as it would be to parade the prisoner around in shackles, he probably deserves it. Let's not create anything that's going to give Team Alec a third shot at this, should they not succeed this next time. That exchange before a single juror has been selected before a single exhibit has been introduced. It tells you exactly the kind of fight this retrial is going to be. Both sides are already battling over what the defendant wears. The McCaslin set the date. Here you go. We'll see if we make this date. April 5th of 2027, nearly 6 years after Maggie and Paul Murdaugh were found shot to death near their dog kennels at Moselle, the judge warned both sides she doesn't do continuances. When I set a trial date, I don't do continuances, she said. We're going forward. So we'll see how much of a woman she is sticking to her word on that. I mean, it's about a year. Seems like a realistic enough time to plan for a trial, again, that you've already thoroughly prepped for round one. I know, obviously, this is a different ball game. I don't think it's out of the question for an April 5th trial date. For anyone who needs the short version, Murdaugh was convicted in March of 23 of murdering his wife, Maggie, who was 52, and their younger son, Paul, 22. Two life sentences there. The South Carolina Supreme Court unanimously overturned those convictions in May of 26, ruling that former Colleton County Clerk of Court Becky Hill tampered with the jury by making improper comments, urging them towards conviction. The court said Hill placed her fingers on the scales of justice. Hill pled guilty to obstruction of justice, perjury, and misconduct in office in December of 25. She received 3 years of probation. Murdaugh remains, of course, in prison on that 27-year state sentence and a 40-year federal sentence for stealing millions from his clients. He's not going anywhere. The murder case is the only thing that has really changed here. This is not the same defense that walked into the Waterboro courtroom in January of 23. This is a team that watched the prosecution's entire strategy unfold over 6 weeks, lost, and has spent 3 years building a counter for every piece of it. Let's start with the prosecution's most devastating exhibit, the kennel video. Paul Murdaugh's phone captured the recordings at the family property minutes before the killings. Multiple witnesses identified Alec Murdaugh's voice in the background. That video shattered Alec's alibi. He took the stand and admitted he'd lied to investigators about being at the kennels that night. The jury deliberated for 3 hours, guilty on all counts. Harpootlin has now publicly stated the defense has a strategy to counter the kennel video at retrial. He declined to reveal specifics, but he said, we absolutely do. We understand that's an issue and it's got to be dealt with. The defense is hiring new forensic cell phone experts to challenge the prosecution's timeline, specifically when Alec arrived at the property, how long he was there, and what Maggie's phone data actually shows. Her phone was later found discarded along a roadside, and the defense has raised questions about what that phone data reveals. Whether Murdaugh testifies again is what Harpootalan called a game day decision. The defense is intentionally not discussing it with their client until they see how the second trial unfolds. Then there's the prosecution's character weapon, the financial crimes testimony. In the first trial, prosecutors spent 12 and a half hours over 10 days presenting Murdaugh's financial crimes to establish motive. The theory, Murdaugh allegedly killed his wife and son to generate sympathy and distract from his unraveling financial fraud. The South Carolina Supreme Court ruled that evidence went far too long and far too deep. The court signaled out testimony about vulnerable financial survivors, like one witness describing his brother's disability as having zero probative value. The kind of testimony the justices wrote carried obviously high potential for unfair prejudice. That's what the Supreme Court said. Did it, in your opinion? Did it, or was it context? Context to a case that is important. The court didn't ban financial crimes evidence outright. It agreed the evidence is relevant to motive, but the prosecution can no longer spend 2 weeks turning the defendant into a villain before the jury considers the actual murder evidence. Harpootalan's characterization of the first trial, by the time we got to the real evidence, the jury wasn't interested in hearing it because he was such a horrible, evil man. Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the case. But again, it was a murder trial. That was not the trial about financial crime. So the venue fight is underway. The defense filed to move the trial out of the entire 14th Judicial Circuit, not just Culloden County, but Allendale, Beaufort, Hampton, and Jasper counties as well. Their argument, the Murdaugh name has been synonymous with that region's legal system for nearly a century. The coverage has been relentless, and a fair jury would almost be impossible. Harpootalan compared jury selection to his 1976 prosecution of serial killer Pee Wee Gaskins, where he interviewed 400 candidates for 14 seats. McCaslin didn't rule on the venue motion. She asked both sides to propose an alternative location together. If they can't agree, she will decide. You're like, if you kids can't keep this under control. Harpootalan told the court the defense has 8 new expert witnesses lined up as well. They need 6 months to get up to speed. Lead prosecutor Creighton Waters said the state is ready to try the case before the end of 2026. McCaslin split the difference and set the April date. The next pretrial hearing, August 14th. And those first responder transcripts Harpootalan brought to court, he told the judge they contain differing accounts from people who arrived at the scene, suggesting other individuals were present at Moselle that night. He also raised the OnStar data from Murdaugh's vehicle, which was not provided to the defense until midway through the original trial. The question Harpootalan is pressing isn't whether the state shared everything with the defense, it's whether everything made it to the state in the first place. The prosecution's most aggressive move didn't happen inside the courtroom. It actually happened in a press statement. Attorney General Alan Wilson, who is also the Republican candidate for governor, so let that wait sit there for you, declared the state is back to square one and all legal options are on the table, including the death penalty. The original trial did not seek capital punishment. Harpootalan's response was immediate. What does he know today that he didn't know 5 years ago? Clearly, he's not talking to the lawyers in the office. He's probably talking to his political consultants who thought that was a good soundbite for his governor's campaign, and he's probably right. The legal issue underneath the politics is vindictive prosecution. Federal precedent holds that when a prosecutor seeks more severe penalties on retrial, the decision is presumed to be vindictive. Punishment for the defendant exercising his legal right to appeal, the prosecution would need to rebut that presumption with new evidence or changed circumstances. Williams' office pointed to one change. South Carolina has resumed executions after a 13-year moratorium. making the death penalty a practical consideration. That it allegedly wasn't in 2022. Whether that argument survives the legal challenge is an open question. Even if the death penalty is never formally pursued, the threat alone changes the dynamics. Death-qualified juries skew differently in their composition. Jury selection lengthens dramatically. The defense's resources get stretched. The shadow of capital punishment reshapes how every decision gets made, from plea negotiations to witness strategy, even if the state never files a formal notice. David Kam was a former Indiana state trooper charged with murdering his wife and two younger children. He was convicted, appealed, convicted again at a second trial, then DNA evidence and fingerprints recovered from the crime scene, evidence that had been collected and cataloged from the beginning, were finally subjected to thorough genetic analysis. And they matched a convicted felon named Charles Booney. Booney was ultimately convicted of the murders and sentenced to 225 years. Kam was acquitted at his third trial after spending 13 years fighting to prove his innocence. The Murdaugh defense cited Kam by name in their motion for independent DNA testing. The parallel they're drawing is about as subtle as a sledgehammer. An untested crime scene sample from under a murdered woman's fingernails, sitting in evidence storage while the convicted defendant maintained he didn't do it. Griffin told the judge the DNA sample, designated as item number 70, still exists. He pushed back on any suggestion it's a red herring. He told the court the defense has been in contact with Ortham about their capabilities. The company believes it can conduct a thorough analysis but needs the sample delivered under court order to move quickly. Griffin also noted that Ortham has worked on roughly 200 cases and was instrumental in other high-profile investigations. McKesson ordered both sides' experts to confer about whether a viable sample remains and how long independent testing would take. She will rule on that on August 14th. The DNA under Maggie Murnau's fingernails may mean absolutely nothing. Contamination, incidental contact from earlier in the day at the grocery store, whatever. An innocent explanation that has nothing to do with two people being shot to death at the dog kennel. Or it may be the single most important piece of evidence in the case that nobody ever followed through on. The only way to find out is to test it. And for 5 years, nobody did. Meanwhile, the Becky Hill situation continues to develop on a parallel track. Murdaugh's attorneys filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against Hill in May, seeking $600,000 in damages, and more importantly, discovery into whether others were involved in what they describe as a coordinated effort to deny Murdaugh a fair trial. Hill filed a motion to dismiss, claiming immunity. A federal judge has set a preliminary conference for July 9th with a potential trial date of May 27 if the case survives. That timeline runs almost exactly parallel to the murder retrial. Every structural advantage the prosecution held in 23 is narrowed. The financial crimes weapon that consumed 12 and a half hours of jury time limited by the Supreme Court. The element of surprise gone. Because the defense has now seen every exhibit, every witness, every strategic pivot, the jury pool, saturated by years of wall-to-wall coverage, and the defense has assembled tools it didn't have the first time around. 8 new experts, advanced DNA technology, new forensic cell phone analysis, a stated plan for the kennel video, subpoena power to pull records they couldn't access before, first responder transcripts with inconsistencies they intend to exploit. None of that means Alec Murdaugh is innocent. The prosecution still has the kennel video. They still have his own admission under oath that he lied about being at the scene that night. They still have the circumstantial case that a jury deliberated on for 3 hours before coming back with a guilty verdict. Creighton Waters told the judge the state is ready to try the case. But the question of what happened at Moselle on June 7th of 21 now belongs to a jury that hasn't yet been seated. In a courtroom that hasn't been chosen under rules that the South Carolina Supreme Court has fundamentally rewritten. And somewhere in evidence, in a locker, a 5-year-old DNA sample labeled item number 70, recovered from under the fingernails of a woman whose alleged killer says he didn't do it, is waiting for a test that could mean everything or nothing. April 5th of 2027. Both sides say they're ready. The DNA sample hasn't said anything yet. your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. Give us your thoughts. Not just, he's guilty, he's innocent, but what do you think? What do you think? If that DNA sample from underneath your fingernails matches someone in CODIS, well, wouldn't that be interesting? Time will tell. Again, your thoughts in the comment section. Substack and YouTube are the best places. Those links are in the description. And wherever you're listening or watching right now, please hit subscribe. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, whatever it is. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage of this case. We're going to keep it coming for you all the way through trial number two. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.